الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Center at New York University podcast, coming to you straight from the heart of New York City. We're building an amazing Muslim community here at ICNYU, where everyone is welcomed and respected no matter where you're from or where you're at. This is the place to be. So open your ears and your heart and come along with us on another life-changing journey. Bismillah.
In the name of Allah, the gracious, the merciful, all praises due to Allah, the Lord of the universe, the master of the day of judgment. I bear witness and testimony to the oneness of Allah, to his magnificence, his omnipotence, his might, his glory, to his being the creator and sustainer of all things, the giver of life, the guider of hearts, the master of the day of judgment. I bear witness to the fact that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and final messenger, and the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and upon all those who choose to tread in his path until the last day. We've been looking at the verses of Surah Al-Furqan that speak about a specific category of worshiper of Allah, the ibad al-Rahman, may Allah make us from amongst them. The fundamental notion is that in this world we state as being parts of creation, each and every one of us individually is an abd. The baseline definition of being an abd is that you rely on something for your existence. And that Allah uniquely is not in this category because he is ghani. He is free of need, self-sufficient. And now when you narrow this, you can be an abd of so many different things. You can be somebody who is in submission of a materialistic existence, trying to satiate an unsatiable pursuit of this dunya. And then nothing's going to ever be enough. But the son of Adam, you give him a mountain of gold and he seeks out another mountain of gold. You can be a worshiper of your physical body, beauty in that external sense, deemed by what is normative societally. And then as you age and grow in this worldly existence, you'll die a thousand deaths over and over. As your physical, it goes through what the body is meant to go through. You can be in a space of submission to a creation that seeks to put you in a box that you're most definitely bigger than. Gains a sense of elevation by denigrating, by giving you everything in terms of judgmentalness and harshness, accepting you only when you become that which you are not. We can choose to be from amongst the ibad of Ar-Rahman, most merciful of those who show mercy. A Lord who doesn't just watch you, but watches over you. Loves you more than a mother loves his child. Believes in you more than you believe in yourself. And in this part of the Quran, we find a listing of characteristics of those who aspire to be from the Ibad al-Rahman. And that's what you have to do. You have to want it. You have to understand that it's achievable, that there's nothing without meaning in what Allah does. And he gives this to you not because it's intangible, but so that you can have aspirations to say that I want to be from amongst those who are in this way of existence. Those who walk on the earth with humility and grace and dignity. That when the Jahilun engage them, call them salama, they simply say peace. Alladina yabituna bi rabbihim sujadan wa qiyama, that they spend a portion of their nights in sajda and qiyam, prostration and standing for their Lord. They make dua for protection from the adab of Jahannam. They are those who they spend with no extravagance or miserliness. They're of the middle way. And so many other characteristics that we've discussed. You take a moment on this day of Jumu'ah and say, who is it that I want to be? And amongst the many aspirations that you have of what you might deem to be success, whether that's through your own definition or you have been socialized in a way to pursue a success that is simply one that is outward, external, negligent of the most important part of you that is the world inside of you, you think in terms of your spiritual gifts, your spiritual steps, in terms of the world that comes beyond this one, what is it that I want to be? And as we get into these last verses that describe now the characteristics of the Imam al-Rahman, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. That the Ibad al-Rahman, they're those who they say, they make this dua, a second dua that we're looking at in the characteristics of the Ibad al-Rahman. That, O Allah, grant to me the coolness of the eyes from my spouse, from my children, my offspring, and make us from amongst those who are the leaders of the Muttaqeen. May Allah make us from amongst them. You want to look at these in terms of how the verses connect all together. And as the final characteristic in this list of characteristics, Allah Azzawajal is giving an insight that the Ibad al-Rahman, they're making dua for something very, very specific. There's a bunch of different ways that we can find in Arabic how you say to give. A'ta, kita, these are words that mean to give. When it says hablana, in Arabic, the word hiba means gift. And the particularities of this word and its etymological roots is giving an understanding that these are individuals that are not just existing at random, but these are verses that we said are Meccan verses. They're being revealed at a time before they go for Hijrah and then move down to the establishment of their Medina. You got to contextualize that these are all people who that were the first to become Muslim. Nobody was born into it at that time. Nobody was in a place where it suddenly, in those first years, was something that they were just given as children. But each one had to affirm, and now they're making this dua, just like every other verse that came before it, that was giving insight to both those at that moment, but those that would be 14 centuries later, sitting in gatherings like us, still drawing meaning. So a lot of these were people who their families were not Muslim. A lot of them, they were the only ones who had embraced this religion. And it wasn't just those that were hearing this verse, but those that also had not entered into this faith were recognizing that they were still a sense of sanctity, whether you entered into this faith later or not, that you still had a relationship to your family. And it wasn't something that was just given in the sense of material or immaterial things, where we use these other words in Arabic, but you're asking as a gift. And you see them still as a gift. There's so much that goes into our tradition where the Prophet with deep gratitude recognizes the ni'mah that is his family members. Hadith upon hadith that he has seen saying that he loves his grandchildren. That amongst all of his sahaba, he was told to resemble his daughter Fatima more than anyone else. That amongst her nicknames, she was called Umm Abiha, the mother of her father. A deep love for his wife, respect and admiration for all those who he had this relationship with. And it wasn't that things didn't come with no challenge. Because amongst the staunchest of opponents and adversaries to the messenger of God, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in that initial period of revelation, were also people who were related to him. You'd be hard-pressed to find a narrative of a messenger of God that we are taught of in our book that didn't have some kind of issue with a family member. Ibrahim alayhi salam gets catapulted into a fire by his townspeople, inclusive of his father. Yaqub alayhi salam cries so much at the departure of Yusuf alayhi salam that he literally loses his eyesight. And Yusuf's brothers are the ones that cast him into the world. Nuh alayhi salam has children. His son is not in a good relationship with him. And you see it as irregular. It's got to be rooted in reality. The notion is to not be in negligence of that. And it's important to understand in the context of this dua, everything that goes into the idea of the gift of a family that's actually a gift. Because there's some of us who we don't have good families. May Allah make it easy for us. There's some of us who we don't have loving relationships with our parents, our siblings, and others. There's some of us who are in that role where we are not upholding the station of being a gift to somebody else. And in this dua, it's imperative to understand that you want to both be able to recognize those in your immediate with an air of positivity and affirmation, but not be in denial of how it applies back to you. Am I fulfilling that right that they have over me? The word qur denotes something that is cold, something that is chilly, something that is cool in that sense. And the idea that it's talking about this in relation to the eyes, you contextualize in a Meccan Arabia where the temperature right now is in hundreds. Many of you come from parts of the world where the humidity, the heat is unbearable. We went through heat waves in our own city here. May Allah make things easy for all of us. To recognize it as an understanding as to where coolness is actually a comfort. In the midst of the hottest day that you experience walking through New York City, going through it unbearably, everything is sticking to you, nothing feels comfortable, it's impacting your hydration, you're in a state now where it's just difficult and difficult and difficult. The minute you sit in a place that has air conditioning, the minute you drink something that's been chilled with ice, the minute you experience something that just brings you relief. The dua is saying that, Ya Allah, make these people in my life cool to me in that way. Make them a comfort to me the way that when you are under the blazing sun in a heat wave and all you want is something to just replenish what has been lost, something to bring you ease in your discomfort, something that's going to let you feel a little bit of just calmness and contentment. And it attaches it to the eye. You ever had an issue with your eye, a problem with your eye? Can everyone move up again, please? My son Kareem, he and I went to a basketball court near our home the other day. And in the midst of playing, he suddenly stopped and he said, Baba, I can't see from my eye. And we didn't know if there was dirt or there was an eyelash or something that was there. He's a little kid. He just turned 7 a few days ago. And now everything just came to a standstill. Nothing else was the focal point of where he was at. We tried every which way to get him to feel better. And eventually he said, I just want to go home. I don't want to play anymore. All of that because of a little speck of something that was inside of his eye. We continue with water and other things, and I don't know if you do this in your home or it's a brown person thing, but I started blowing on my sleeve and putting it on his face. He said, "Baba, what are you doing?" I said, "No, it'll work." And then after a little bit, he suddenly just jumped with a big smile and he said, "It's not there anymore." I said, "Do you want to still go home?" And he said, "No, let's stay. I want to play." The dua is asking for that kind of feeling, that kind of relief, that when you walk into your home after a long day and you see your family, it brings you contentment the way somebody who's stuck in the heat is now content from the coolness of a chilled drink or an air-conditioned experience. The way if somebody's eye is just filled with all kinds of stuff, and they can't focus on anything because of the fragility and tenderness of what your eye is. And then all of a sudden, it's able to feel relief, a coolness again. The dua is being asked by the Ibad al-Rahman, "Give me that kind of coolness through my spouses and my children." It's really easy to be in a place that the people we spend the most time with are the ones that we take for granted the most. Get away with not expressing gratitude, not showing appreciation, not giving simple thanks. Forgetting what it is that is the actual blessing of having a loving and caring family. New York City is quite unique, but one of its biggest fitment is to be in a place where it dilutes our ability to remember those that went through so much so we could be where we are today. And again, it's not a disclaimer that should be taken lightly. There are those who have families that are not good to them. But there's a lot of us also, we just simply don't recognize that we don't deserve the gifts that were given to us. We take every justification to be able to validate negligence, no calls, not treating well. You want to think about this through multiple facets. The application now of the individual back in. Where that coolness comes in, the Mufassirin give a lot of different interpretations. One is a coolness that stems from now being able to see a family that lives in obedience of the divine. These are the ibad al-Rahman. They don't want to see their family being the ibad of something else. They want to see them having the connection to God. And being in a sphere where that's not just rooted now in what is ritualistic or things that have legalistic frames, that's there. But it goes into the second interpretation as well. Because if somebody is truly a servant of the most merciful, you think they're going to hit their kids? You think they're going to yell at their wife? You think they're going to yell at their mother? Or be in a place where they can validate and justify mistreatment or abuse of any kind? So the coolness that sets in comes from a recognition of a life that exerts gentleness, kindness, compassion. Real love. And to adopt a mindset that understands this from a distinct facet. I'm going to speak tonight at an online gathering that's taking place with national leaders, where we're remembering different women who, not over years, but just in the last weeks, Muslim women who were the victims of domestic homicide. Estranged husbands came, found them in acts of rage and domestic violence, took their lives. May Allah grant them peace and make us individually as a community always a means of relief for those who are facing any type of persecution. The dua is saying that a family is meant to be a gift. And if you know families that have individuals that are everything other than that, it is not for you to determine that you will look elsewhere and pretend like it does not happen. It's very purposeful that the dua is asking for what it is asking for. And to be able to understand that it is not something that simply is equated to, well, it's in another house, it's another home, another family. That's my friend, so I can't say anything. One of the biggest challenges of modernity comes in this weird philosophical understanding that the adoption of neutrality in instances of oppression somehow gives you a sense of being more high in your consciousness and awareness. Sometimes things don't have two sides. Sometimes you cannot explain away someone else's ill behavior. The dua is that you want to have families that are gifts for you. Give me a gift of a coolness in my eye from those that are in my household. So you don't want to leave somebody hanging. But when they make that dua in the middle of the night with tears streaming from their face because their house is anything other than a home. They have individuals in their families who exert realities that are so far from the prophetic model of engagement. The Prophet's wife, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says of him, لَمْ يَدْرِبْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِمْرَاتًا وَلَا غُلَامًا وَلَا وَلَدًا قَتْ, that the messenger of God never struck a woman or a servant or a child ever. So it cannot be our individual decision to determine that just because I'm not in that situation, my awareness of it still makes me somebody who plays a pivotal role. If you have friends that don't treat women well, then you should not allow for them to mistreat women. Individuals you went to school with who don't honor the rights of their families, their children, it is not for you to make a decision that says that, well, there's two sides to it. Or if I say something, they won't be my friend anymore. You are going to stand in front of Allah one day, and there are people who make this dua. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. They give me just some relief to family. They're not getting you. Because we're trying to both sides something that you're not supposed to. I want you to think, it's a Mubarak day, the day of Jum'ah. What does it mean to be a gift to somebody else? What does it mean that I play this role now of connecting to somebody, that when they walk into the room and they see me, their eyes are going to light up. They're going to feel a sense of joy. It's not meant to be self-deprecating. It's got to be a wake-up call. Some of us in this room are not in a place where we are married yet. We don't have our own families, but none of us come into existence out of nothing. You want to take a recognition of what you were given and what preceded you, and to be able to understand that through reflection and understand, does this really fit into the prophetic mode of what it means to have these types of relations? If I'm in a place where I was surrounded by individuals who did not treat me well, then you deserve healing in your heart. You deserve an opportunity to find a space that allows for you to move forward from that. If you are in a place where your reflection can take you to a recognition that you have gifts in your home, you have elders that did take care of you and provided for you, you do have children in your life that look up to you and long for your attention, you have spouses that provide for you care and all kinds of support, and you take the dua and you apply it back and say, how am I a gift to those people? How am I their hibah? And they about the Rahman, they're not doing it for show. The verse is already established. They don't walk on this earth with anything other than humility. They're not oblivious or impervious. The verse right before this said, Sulman wa Riyana, that they're not deaf and blind to the realities of the world. And then as it continues, it says, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And then for the muttaqeen, make us a leader. And you can connect the two parts of the verse, that the idea can be that the application of the word muttaqeen is going back to the family that is being described in the onset of the dua, that they are now in such a state that their consciousness is in such a high level, their taqwa is increased. It's the dua for the other that I'm making. But it's not something that the Ibad al-Rahman are doing in aspiration of a lofty position or authority. They just dare to dream in their du'as. They're not asking Allah just for Jannah. They're asking Allah for Jannah for the votes. May Allah grant us all entrance into the highest level of His paradise without any judgment. They're not asking for the bare minimum, but they're asking for things aspirationally. They're in a place where they recognize that their dua gives an indication not of who they are, but who is the one that they're actually asking of. And so it's not with a sense of, I'm the best, make me in charge. But give me such a sense of inward strength. Allow for me to have such a place where my heart is sovereign. I'm not governed by my stomach and my sexual organs. I'm not simply in pursuit of wealth and materialistic gain. I don't live to gain validation that is complacent. I want to live in such a way that my character, my example, my demeanor, everything and anything about me is so much in tune with what you want from me, Ya Rab. That would become an example for those whose defining quality is that they are people of taqwa. That's the dua that the Ibad al-Rahman make. May Allah make us from amongst them. You want to take these characteristics and you want to start to think about them but execute upon them. To be able to spend some time within yourself to say that where is it that I want to be? What does success look like? In a handful of places in the Quran, Allah gives to us lists that are like this. They're not for somebody else to be the one that aspires towards them, but it's for me. And this particular verse is something that is so important. We serve a very large community here, alhamdulillah. Thousands of people see this center as a part of their lives. And I constantly get asked by people, what is the thing that you hear the most from individuals? And we see everything that you can imagine. People dealing with grief, homelessness, job insecurity, financial insecurity, wellness conditions, personality disorders, all kinds of realities that are difficult. May Allah make it easy for them. And it becomes hard. I don't like speaking in generalization, but when that question's asked, it is beyond easy to answer that the most things that we see walking into our doors, people reaching out, people online, people just looking for a space to express. People have issues with their families. A lot of pain, a lot of difficulty, a lot of turmoil. Allah didn't give you the gift of a significant other in your life so that you would turn them into you. Because then you're not loving them, you're just loving the parts of them that remind you of yourself. They're a whole person, fully autonomous from you. Allah didn't give you the gift of children in your life, whether they're directly yours or young people that look up to you, so that you would lash out at them, make them feel as if they themselves should be as scared to make mistakes. Mawlana Rumi rahimahullah, he says, raise your words, not your voices. It is the rain that makes the flowers grow, not thunder. That you understand that within yourself, you are Muslim. And that means your character is reflective of something that is deeper than what is normative in the world out there. You seek to be one that has forbearance and patience. You honor the rights of elders. You express gratitude and thanks. You don't wait to be served, but you jump to be in a place of service. You are not willing to be in a place where you tolerate injustice or inequity of any kind. You are able to see the light that exists in those around you because you're not afraid to embrace your own luminosity. And when you make a mistake, you're willing to admit it. You don't pretend like it doesn't happen. We want to be able to stop the perpetuation of things that become cyclical. And you ponder upon this verse, the idea of what it means to have a gift in your health, in your house, in your family. What does it mean for me to be a gift? You don't want to be the reason as to why somebody that perpetuates abuse is given a green light because some people's families are not gifts. May Allah make things easy for them. And if you have allowed for that to be something that's given continuity, then you work to the best capacity possible. This is where we have hadith, that you take action against the inequity. You can't by your hand and through your words. And if you can't do that, then you make du'a for that thing. None of those three things say you pretend like it doesn't happen. And none of those three things say you justify it in some way to enable it. But you do what you can to put an end to it. There's too many people that are alone in the world. May Allah make things easy for all of them. Loneliness does to your body what's the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day, statistically. So look within yourself. You come to this space, people are in a transient city. You reach out, you ask others, how is your life? What do you need? What can we do for one another? Be a source of hope for others. This is the way of Ibn Bada Rahman. So when you have time on this day of Jum'ah, go open your Quran, whether you can read the Arabic of it or not, read a translation, you want to listen to it, if you don't like to read things. It's the 25th chapter of the Quran. We went through about a dozen different characteristics of the Ibn Rahman. You take out a sheet of paper and you write at the top that this is what I want to be. And when I stand in front of Allah, do I want to only be known by my profession, the credential I have, the degree I have? Do I want to only be known by the amount of things that I possess? What's going to weigh really heavy and lofty on my scales? How I treated others, my character, my etiquette towards them, what I was grateful for, what I was appreciative of. These verses are a call to remember who your teacher is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where is it that you find your grounding, your foundation? May Allah make us from the Ibn Rahman.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمداً عبده ورسول. There's been a lot of different news that has come out this recent days, weeks. They're just very heavy and devastating. And inwardly, you want to just think to yourself, where you're not intellectualizing people's struggles, you're not adding to rhetoric that makes it difficult and heavy for somebody who's in a place of pain. But just really think within yourself, how am I playing a role of being the source of healing or remedy?
If you heard about the attacks that took place, the killings in New Mexico, may Allah grant peace to those whose lives were taken, ease to their family members, give them the best of reunions in the highest levels of this paradise in the world. If you're Sunni in this audience and you haven't picked up the phone to check in on somebody who's Shia, just to see if they're doing okay. Because you might think that that's the first time something happened in a long time, or it's never happened. But the reality is that those killings took place shortly after numerous people were killed who were Shia in Afghanistan. You just might not know because nobody talks about it. If you're in a place where you can understand that this man who perpetuated these murders, some say that his motivation was rooted in being able to exert control now over his daughter, who married against his wishes, somebody who was Shia. If you haven't sat down and thought hard about what it means when you blend hateful ideologies together, and recognize that one out of every four women will experience abuse at some point in their life, and what it means to now be in a place where you are not just a bystander, but you are upstanding. You need to take a deep look within and try to understand, how can I be a source of support? That's what the gift of Jummah is for us. There's distinct barakah. It's meant to open our hearts to different perspectives and perceptions. So don't wait for somebody else to do the good that you can do. Nobody's going to benefit from the blessings that is you. And you don't need somebody's permission to go out there and do some of the things that you're not doing. You just got to overcome whatever it is that's inside and allow for yourself to see it a little bit differently. See it the way that one who's tapping into their inward person, a sense of beauty, would see it. And start to slowly, gradually, be a means in which we can find distinction and difference in this world, not from anybody else's hands, but from us as an individual, part of the community, catalyzing what we have the capacity to. Inshallah ta'ala, after the Jummah prayer today, we have a brother who's going to be taking his Shahada. You make dua for him, right? This is what this dua is. It's a Meccan surah, Meccan dua. People who have converted to Islam in the initial stages of revelation, whose families are not Muslim, and they're making dua because they're in this space where there's turmoil that comes from that. We're going to also have lunch at the end of the Jummah prayer as well that we'd love for you to stick around for. But be here present with one another. That if things are going well for you, know that there's people in this room who they're still hurting inside, and they need for you to welcome them in, to learn their names, and to let them understand that this is a space in which they can find that ability to regain balance amidst so much chaos and confusion. Because there's good people like you that are here waiting to help uplift their spirits, repair what has been broken by a society that purposely seeks to break and hold people down, and help them to get to places that each one of us should be entitled to get to.
We hope you enjoyed our podcast. If you're inspired by the work that we're doing at the IC and want to help keep it going, subscribe to our podcasts, follow us on social media, donate to help support us at icnyu.org, and most importantly, keep us in your continued du'as. Until next time, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.